So, what we're up to now, we just finished discussing the issue of Kisokalis, or in particular, the noteworthy opinion there of the Rama, and he put in a flaw in Kirish Mishnah, the Krisus. That essentially, the way that this works is that really it's an Isra Achila, has to be Chal as an Isra Achila. Only once it's Asa Achila do we then say that the expanded category, that which Achila, you know, is understood to now represent an example of, becomes Asa as well. And therefore, if it's the Isra Achila is in Chal because of a prior Isra Achila, the Din of Ein Asa Chal Isra, so then it won't be Chal due to the Hana, because even though if you had an Isra Hana alongside an Isra Achila, you do that with Menila, so then, or you have an Isra Hana independently, so then it'll be Chal as an Isra Mosif, and then you'll be Chaya for Achila as well. But says the Rambam, it isn't true in the case of these Isurim, the Isuri Achila that are also Asur B'Hana. Those cases, in the Kosar B'Yavo, those cases are. In essence, not only does the Torah formulate it as formulated explicitly only in terms of Achila, but it has to be Chal as an Isra of Achila. Only once it's Chal, you then have the expanded categories, not just Achila, but Shar Hahanos. And in the event that is in Chal, the Isra of Achila is in Chal, you're not going to have the Isra of Hana. So just to mention one other issue, we'll see very shortly another one, but just to mention one other issue with this sort of character. Could have an implication, could have an afkamina, this sheet of the Rambam would be, I mean, it's a question that arises naturally, let's say, not only in terms of the initiation of the Isser, but also in terms of the cessation of the Isser Hana. The question one could raise is, after the Isser Achila is Paka, let's say you have a situation where the Isser Achila, for one reason or another, is Paka, would the Isser Hana still remain? That's a question we'll see. I'm just alerting you to the question. It's a question that's raised in the Mishnah Nah, the suffix regarding Yisurei Hana'ah, with respect to a machal that has been nisal mechilas adam, on the assumption that that once it's nisal mechilas adam, so the Yisura, this Yisur Hachilas Paka, so what do we say then about Yisur Hana'ah? Is the Yisur Hana'ah remain? And one could explain, one could think, that perhaps it boils down to the question, this issue of the Rambam says, if you assume that the Isser Hana is something which takes, which is sort of an offshoot, the secondary implication of the Isser Hachila, so then you might very well say that the same thing applies, that the answer would be no. You cannot have an Isser Hana, Deraisa, remain upon one of these Isuri Achila cases, where, you know, which is also Isser Hana, where the Isser Achila itself has been Paka. Because at that point you don't have the Isser to deal with at all, so its expansion, its secondary expansion, does no longer exist. I think that makes sense. We'll come back to it when we get to that sugya in itself, the issue of Rav Achila b'Isurim, the Chametz and Shar Isurim. Although I don't think that this is Mokrak necessarily, you could say that once it's Chal, so then it is in Paka without with the Hafgad Shar Shir Achila. In other words, this Sheet of the Rambam, what this is saying is, in order to be Chal in the first place, it has to be that there is an Isra Achila, which you know, it's Chal as an Isra Achila, then it's expanded as a sort of secondary tier to represent as just an example, you know, then the other things in the class that are not specifically mentioned in the Torah become Nesru. Once that happens, then that has a life of its own. It doesn't, once, you know, you open the Pandora's box of the Shari Surana, it no longer depends on the Isra Achila, and even if the Isra Achila were to be, that wouldn't necessarily be true of the Isra Hana. We'll get to that. I'm just raising as a point of you know, consider that this sheet of the Rambam, although he develops it in the context of the Chalosa Isra initially, could be, you know, have other implications, and we'll see in a minute potentially another one. So just to outline so far, overall, what we've seen is, in terms of the Isra, the question that we're dealing with here, what does the Nana violate, and to the extent that it's a violation of the Isra of Achila, so how does that relate? How do we understand the Isra of Achila, the nature of that? So here, just to sort of summarize and outline just quickly, basically we've seen that one possibility is that what we're dealing with here is two different Isurim. Right? We have an Isra Le'efol, and Isra Achila is a lav, of achila, and then you have separately nisr lahanos. Whether that nisr lahanos is an independent lav, like the Arayim as an example, who seems to say this across the board, or it's something else, perhaps in nisr deraisa be'alma, and nisr b'li makom reforash, like something like along the lines of an nisr that you know imazirim nadin. But we do say that there is an nisr for such a thing. So one of those examples, like katzshir or nisa, maybe that's what we have here as well. Alternatively, we've been exploring one lav that prohibits both achila and hana. You violate the nehenet violates that which the ochel violates as well. Now, in terms of the nature of that iser, that of that lav, if that's the case, so in terms of the implications for the davar shemuzar lav, what it is that is being prohibited in essence, if we can encapsulate in essence, so we have various possibilities. We've seen number one. It's possible to understand that the davar shemuzar lav really is in the end hana. The iser is lehanos. Achila is just one example of hana. The model for that would be presumably meila, even for the Rambam, let's say. Meila would be the model for that. Achila you violate, but only alts. You know, Torah's nene. And that's really what the iser is prohibiting. This is something you would say regarding the Yisuri Achila. Certainly, if you take the semantic interpretation of achal, or lo yachal, or lo yachal, of Rabbi Bo or Chizkia, and you say that what it means, this is an interpretation of the word, and it's also the exclusive interpretation of the word. What simply means nehne, right? In the sense of you know nimsut varech of aflame that I'm partaking, I'm benefiting from. Does achila is the metaphor, but actually it's what it's communicating is don't be nehne. So then you get that. Alternatively, you could also come to the conclusion that this is just Torah's prohibiting to be nehne. If you take let's say the Rambam's interpretation. That it's an example. Rather, Arm and Sefer Mitzvah's interpretation that achila is just an example, so it means eating, but it's meant as an example. So, in theory, one could also have said, on that interpretation, that what the prohibition then is don't be nehne. It just mentions an example, but really don't be nehne. That's one possibility, that the Isser, the Davar Shemuzar Lav, is hana. Alternatively, we said that the possibility you could say that the Isser is. Either it's either ochel or nana. In other words, it's both to be nana and to be ochel. What the Torah here is prohibiting is either ha-ochel or ha-nana mimenu. And one could have gotten that in different ways as well. Either as a semantic interpretation, but then understanding that these are being used as both of them alternatives. Echad iser achila, the echad iser no b'masha means it means both. Which the Arayim said, albeit for the Arayim, there were two different lavim, but one can in theory say that it's one iser. It's sort of like a, if you want to say lav shpachlos, but it's really one lav. But it just has these alternative meanings, and both of them are valid. In which case, you might say that so the iser essentially is saying be neither nana nor ochel. Alternatively, as we see from the Rambam in the end. Is that you could say it's simply the Darsh Muzar really is achila, and there's just a chiddush, there's a din that once that Isra achila is chal, so then it's not only achila but shar hanos as well. But if fundamentally speaking, in terms of what is the Torah asering, so it means to be asering, the words actually mean eating, and also on a legal sense, it is an Isra lechol, and it's just that there's this added chiddush that once you have the Isra achila, so then achila. Then stands as a representative of Shar Hanos. We have a din that we derive, based on Rabbi Bo, based on Chizkia, that also the other Hanos are Nesru, and by that Isser, but it's sort of taking a tramp alongside the Achila. That's the vision, that's the understanding of the Rambam. Okay. And this brings us to the next issue we're going to look at, which is the Shir, the Sky of B'malkos. Right? So this is something which is applicable to the Rishonim that hold. That we are looking by Hanah, meaning not the Rambam himself who held that we are not loke for Hanah in these cases, but for those who hold that you are loke. So what is the shear for that malchus? If there is a shear, that's the question. So one possibility here, we'll see that there are three possibilities that are available here. One possibility is that the shear is shveifruta. Now this is one sada suffix of the Eri, and the Eri raises this shiloh. In the suffix in the Nedarim, to give you guys Mar Makom for it, where he thinks this is one possibility, and we'll get to the other one in a second, that maybe the Isser, the Shir, to become Loke, for all these cases, let's say as an example, Bas Bechala or Chametz is Shvei Pruta. And this is the Psak of Rav Kivei Eger. He doesn't quote any Kadmonim, he doesn't quote any Rishonim, he himself arrives at the assumption, at the conclusion, that the shear to become Loka is Shvei Pruta. And we have precedent for an Isser Hanala, which is Shiro B'Shvei Pruta for the purpose of Makos, and this is the Kuli Yaman, even for the Rambam, explicit in Mi'ila. Right? In the case of Mi'ila, so the Gemara, there's several Gemaras that say this, and apply it. I gave you one example, right? Gemara increases for Gimel, it's just one example. And the Rambam codifies it, of course, that for Mi'ila, you are Loke B'Shvei Pruta. Your Nana, or eating either one. If it's B'Shvei Pruta, so then you get Makos, Paklos Mizeh, you don't. Now, how compelling this is as precedent probably depends on the question that Achronim raised, which is the nature, the yisod of the Isser Me'ilah. To the extent that we view it as an Isser Gezel, right? To the extent that it's simply the category of Gzela Min Ha'Hekdesh. Gzela Min Ha'Hekdesh has its own law, that's Me'ilah. That's its own din, that's Me'ilah. Then you would say, presumably, that this is not a riot, that this is not a good precedent, because even if you sue Hana'a, generally speaking, does not measure Bashir Shvei Pruta, you would presumably say that this is no different than, let's say, Hashlumin Le'inim Zela, it's measured Bashir Pruta, because that's the Shir Mamon, but that's unique to Me'ilah, not necessarily something which would be true of other Hana'as. The question overall, are Me'ilah, this always think this is the case, that it's really just it's a Din Gazel. Or no, it's properly considered really one of the Isseri Hana, and at root it is an Isser Hana, not an Isser Gezel. There perhaps other possibilities as well, in terms of the nature of the Isser. But as I mentioned, Achronim raised this question, and in particular, one particularly strong hint of such an idea that it isn't simply an Isser Hana, is in Tosfos regarding, in Tosfos in Tosfos, I think, in Pesachim, on Beis, in the context of Kumli Rabinei, that perhaps Kumli Rabinei is a distinction between hearings, etc. There's a distinction between Tashlumei Truma and Tashlumei Mi'ila, that in the context of Tashlumei Truma, there's no din of Kumli Rabinei because it's Mechaper. Here it's simply Gezel Hekdesh. So that's the marker that people focus in on. I'm not going to address that question now. Again, it's a major question. But to the extent that that's true, then the Shir Pruta becomes less of a precedent for the question of how do we measure Hana? What's the Shir for Hana? I will still note that Rav Chaim, I think, still is somewhat difficult because he uses it as a proof that it's not. I mean, this would undermine the ability of saying it's precedent for Isseri Hana, the idea that it's Gezel Min HaHekdesh, but at the same time, the possibility that it is a normal Shir Hana, Shpri Puta, would seem to undermine the ability to prove that Me'ila Yisodo B'Isser Gezel. And this is precisely what Chaim does. One of his primary proofs that Me'ila is an Isser Gezel, not an Isser Hana, is the fact that it's Shpri Puta. That's certainly questionable, given that Vega thought that was the normal Shir Hana Shvei Pruta. Meiri was nostalgic about the question, right? And in the end, even if you say that you know you can't use Mila as precedent, that Vega's right and that Meiri's right, because it's possible to argue that it's an Isser Gezel. I think it's hard to imagine you can prove from the very fact that it is Shvei Pruta that it isn't Hana. You have to first prove that Hana is not a Shvei Pruta. Then you could say, but what about the fact that it's that the Shir, why is the Shir Me'ilah different than other Yisurei Hana? Must be that it's Yisod HaMishum Gezel. Chaim skips that step. He just assumes that it isn't. Seemingly, he assumes that it is not the natural Shir for Hana, something which clearly isn't true for many. And therefore, even if you assume, let's say, in the end, that there's no Raya from Me'ilah that it is Shvei Pruta, I don't think you can just assume that there's a Raya that from Me'ilah that Me'ilah isn't in Yisur Hana. Okay, and I sent to you guys just recently the Rosh Nishans, right? The Rosh Nishans essentially clearly does, I think, work in the direction of Vager, right? In that he considers the Shir Pruta, Shrei Pruta of Me'ilah to be representative of what you have in the context of an Isser Hana. And this comes in two forms. We'll have to come back to it in a second, but he basically says, he's contrasting Tashlumi Truma with Tashlumi Hekesh. I'm not going to get into the context for now, but Tashlumi Truma is the Kizayas according to one daya. So what's the difference? He basically says that even the Rabbanan would agree that it's Shvei Pruta when it comes to Midi Dehana. It's just that they're dealing with Midi Dehachila, Truma. The Yisr of Zar Be'achilas Truma. So the shear, according to the Rabbanan Da'av Shol, is a shear kizayis. So he's saying that even they would agree, though, in context of me'ilo, where it's not nisra achila but nisra hana, right? That should be something which is specifically shirkut. Devakon l'pli Rabbanan el b'min d'achila v'hana mod d'loshah shear el rukuta. Clearly, the appropriate standard for hana that we're measuring for hana and the shear for hana with sky v'makos is shirkut. And precisely, it seems like Ewa is a good example, a precedent for that. And he says at the end, so what you the Ladami Lahaf Milsa del Mail Zamizoki Bimal Shayat Isergam Bahana Belo Achila. And then he had the line, Ain Hanab Hafs and Shreputa the Khashabama. So basically what he's saying there is that essentially Ain Adam is Elazet, similar to what he had said initially, be Ishladim and the relation between them. But when you're dealing with something which is simply hana, not achila, meaning there's no particular din achila b'me'ila, it's simply it seems an example of hana, right? We'll come back to this. This is actually somewhat of a question, but it seems that achila is chayav mishum hana, right? Not independently as an ochla, but just as a min hana, but really the devar shmuzar love b'me'ila is purely hana, right? For the same reason, presumably, you get malchus for the Rambam. That would be, because that's the Yisr. The Yisr is Hana. Achila counts as an act of Hana. Therefore, the Shir Achila in Nila is Shvei Pruta. And the expression of the fact that it isn't really an Yisr Achila, but an Yisr Hana Bisado is this point, is that it's Shvei Pruta. Right? That's the explanation for it. Right? So that's what he says. The low domain of the Hakamel Sala Mele of Zamidu, Ki Ma'al Shayach Yisr Gamba Hana Bala Achila. Vein Hana Bapal Shvei Pruta Tufashim Ma'am. It sounds again that he's not stressing the Gezel element of it. This is simply the Hana element of it, which is responsible for it being a straight Pruta. Basically, I'm not saying it's a Raya for, but it's very much in the vein of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who assumes that Bechol Terkula, Hana, is to be measured as a sheer straight Pruta. And therefore, that's what you're Loke for. Again, the Manda Amar, according to the many Rishonim, we hold that you are Loke for Hana. Again, the way to deflect it, the raya is to simply say that Mila is different because it's not a din in Hana per se, or maybe that's a question, how much of Hana is it? It's really more of a Gezel, so in which case the natural share would be Shrei Pruta, but if it were Hana, it could be something else. If we just answer Hana. Again, our client goes further. He said he assumes that that's the case and therefore uses it as a proof. That part I find hard to believe, meaning he's just assuming that Kavega is wrong, that Meir is wrong, and that Rav Shas seemingly is incorrect. He assumes that this is that the answer to our question is not Shvei Pruta, and therefore it becomes a raya that Meila is Gezel from the fact that it's Shvei Pruta. But the point that if it's, the point that I think is clearly obviously valid is that if in fact it's an Isser Gezel, so then it wouldn't, it's being Shvei Pruta would not be a good precedent necessarily. Okay? Everybody follow? So that's one possibility, that it's a shear of Shvei Pruta. We'll come to the conceptual implications of this, we'll come back to. The second possibility that comes up most explicitly is that the possibility that what? What's the second shear, let's say? You can call it a kolshu. Is really that there's no shear. Kolshu. Now, this is the other tzad, in the Suffolk of the Meiri, maybe it's Bekoshu, and the explanation for this is presumably pretty simple, and it's rooted, I think, in the particular conception, of Shir Lamakos, of the Shir Kezayis Lamakos, the Yisurei Achila. Because we mentioned that regarding the din of the Isur, the Shir Lamakos for Achila, so Reish Lakish, right, on the question of whether or not it's Usher at all, we saw Reish Lakish in Gemara Yoma explained that he argues it's not Usher because Achila Be'ina Meleka, the assumption of Reish Lakish being, right, that by definition, it's not a question of the quantity, how much you eat in order to become Chayav B'Makos. Reish Lakish thinks it's not a question of just simply a quantity, it's without that quantity, the quality, the act of achilah doesn't exist. It's not a question of how much you're eating, but rather whether you're eating. There's a difference between simply, you know, inhaling or even swallowing particles and an act of eating. And for Rish Lakish, he explains that difference is sheer kazayas. That's where kazayas comes in. It defines the act of achilah as an act of achilah. And hence, you're not violating any iser if there's no lo sochal. If iser is a lo sochal, so you're not violating that if the achilah, quote-unquote achilah, which is legally not achilah, pops from the kazayas. Achilah from kazayas is lashmei achilah. All right, that's the explanation for Rish Lakish and Gemara. And we mentioned, right, we've mentioned now a couple times, that you can understand Rabbi Yochanan in two ways. There are a few who seem to think that Rabbi Yochanan argues on the point, on this point, that he thinks that even Achila Pachas, Mikazayas is Achila. This is the position I mentioned that Rabbi Elazar Mizrahi is most famous for articulating in his Perish Al Smag, that even Pachas Mikazayas is an act of Achila. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees on that point. That's why he thinks that there's an Isser Kolshu. Right, because achila is ladaka b'kazayis. Elamai kazayis is a shear of Lachos from Sinai. For the din of malchus, you have to be an achila chashuva. But the reason that Riochan disagrees fundamentally regarding the whether or not there's an iser is simply because he doesn't agree with the premise of Rish Lakish that defines an act as an act of achila. Alternatively, and this has many expressions in Rishonim, I would say this is by far the more prevalent notion that one gets when one. One looks at the Rishonim's commentary and comments on this question. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Pachas Mikazayas is not Achila. It doesn't have a Shem Achila. Elamai, he thinks that Usr, it's Usr anyway based on either a Svara or a Riboy. Based on this Makor of Kol, or based on the Svara of Chazal the Trufe, one or the other, or maybe both, some combination of the two. You have, it is that we find, we discover that it is Usr to inhale, let's say, Pachas Mikazayas, to ingest something Pachas Mikazayas. That is something which we're told is also prohibited. This despite the fact that really on the basic point of what defines an act of achila, Rish Lakish is correct. Pachas Mikazayas is not an achila. Again, the question would then be, okay, so does that mean that you violate a separate independent isra? That's probably the natural conclusion, or is somehow the chiddush that the chiddush is that you violate the isra philosophical even though it's not itself an achila. The Rashba has a telling comment on this.
What does that mean that
you're over that the Reboy kind of includes non-Achilas in this Isser as well?
Would that impact Malkus or not? Or
it probably would. I mean, you don't get Malkus for it, so we know that.
Not according to the Rabbin, though.
What do you mean by that? I mean, some Rishonim think that that's actually the model of that even if you have something which violates the Isser, but it's only a violation of the Isser, it depends on how you understand the Reboy, because Reboy could be understood as indicating independent Isser Bali Makor. This is precisely how the Shear is a good model because it has all the Shitas. Or something that, Riboy means that it's been now sort of grafted onto that Isser, so you violate that Isser, but it's only out of your Riboy. And the fact that you don't get Makos for it is, in fact, because we're not looking on things which are sort of grafted onto, by the Riboy. The Rashi on this was asked, meaning what's the justification for having this sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that on the one hand you violate an Isser, on the other hand you're not looking for it. So he says, in looking let me show the eager pra helix bay, meaning adopting precisely the standard of Rish Lakish, as I said, this is what most Rishonim would say. So basically, for the Rashba himself, it sounds like what the Rashba believes is, in the end, it is sort of attributing the Riboy does enable it to become an Isser as well. You do violate the law of Losoflu in the end, based on the Riboy. But nonetheless, naturally speaking, it is not actually an act of achila. And that's sort of the reason why you needed the Riboy, and that's why even subsequent to the Riboy, ultimately, there's no malchus. If you take this view, right, that the reason for this, the shear kazayas, the malchus, in the case of achila, is simply based on the fact that puffs and kazayas is simply not an act of achila, so then that provides for a simple explanation for why Kolshu should be the Din Banah. Because on this view, the question regarding Anah becomes, is there any shear, is there any natural shear that would define the act of Anah as an act of Anah, as being Nana, or not? Right? Is the same thing true? In the case of Achila, it's not an extra din to Isurim, it's simply a function of the fact that Achila by itself means it's Achila which has been prohibited. And Pachas Migazayas, it's not that there's a din b'shiurim b'isurim in general in Magos. It's that Pachas Migazayas is not an act of Achila. That's why you don't get Magos for it, because it really doesn't, at least initially, violate this law. It's not included within the prohibition of Achila. Achila is something which requires a certain quantity that you're ingesting in order to be defined as eating. And ultimately, that's why there's the Magos for it. The question is there something parallel in the case of Hana, such that Pachas Mi Oso Hashir is not defined as being Nana? Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger presumably could and would answer yes. The answer would be yes, there is a Bashir. Shvei Pruta is the Shir. Shvei Pruta, less than that, is not considered to be Hana Bechlal. It doesn't have to be that Rabbi Eiger would say this, because maybe he would reject the premise regarding Shurim in general. But I think it's very likely he would say this, that, and this is something that you already saw in the language of the Rosh Hashanah, right? Pachas Mi Shvekruta isn't Hana, right? Because it's Lofa Shabam. Now, presumably, the reason for that is precisely what the Rosh Hashanah articulated, that point, right? As the Rosh Hashanah says, Vein Hana, Bepalasim Shvekruta, Fashimam, meaning that the reason that Shvekruta is the shear at which Hana is considered to be Hana is because Pachas Shvekruta is not Mam. This is an assumption that many Rishonim state explicitly. I should mention, Agav, that it doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. There's no Gemara that says that Pachas Shvekruta is defined, not defined as Mamon. It's always quoted as a shear, legavi issues of Mamonos. What Rishonim do is they reconstruct, they make sense of it, that you know, that's because Pachas Shvekruta isn't Mamon. There is a famous center. Again, most Rishonim say this explicitly. In fact, I think all Rishonim do, essentially. You have the line of Pachas Shvekruta in Mamon in most Rishonim. Then Yehuda's son has a tshuva, where he takes issue with this. He points out that it's not explicit anywhere, and he argues otherwise. But most assume that Pachas Shvekruta is not just the lower shear for the purposes of whatever dinim you find that the Gemara mentions Pachas Shvekruta in the context of. It's actually just not mammon. It's not defined as a monetary quantity. However, one could reject this point that Shvekruta is the minimum shear for Hana, or it's being defined as something of Hana, either by, number one, arguing that there can be monetary benefit even Pachas Mikruta. Let's say as an example that Pachas Mikruta ain't a mammon, but you can still argue, but if I sell it as part of a package, so then I get Pruta, I do get Pruta. So I can be net, right, in that case, let's say you have something which is a needle shalhakish, let's say it's a needle that's owned by Medica by has Kedushas Mamon. So if I use a needle Shel Hekdesh, so you might say, well, I haven't received a Shvei, it's not a Shvei Pruta of Hana, because the needle, the Machad is itself, Machad is usually the example they give of a Kli Pach Shvei Pruta, right, the needle itself is not worth a Pruta. But you could argue, does that mean that I've not been Nehna at all? If you say that, let's say, for instance, I mean, the assumption here is Nehna, to be Nehna means to benefit financially, and Hana'a and financial benefit has to be measured in increments of Shvei Pruta, right? Pachas Shvei Pruta is not benefiting, but you might argue, but if I, let's say, sell it, right? So then I sell it as part of a package, let's say I sell you 10 needles, or even 2 needles, let's say, they each have Pruta. So it's part of a package for which I do receive monetary benefit. So maybe one could argue that even if you assume, let's say, that the thing itself, as an independent piece, it's not independently defined as being mamon, or having shovi mamoni, but nonetheless, it doesn't necessarily mean that I can't be nana from it, even if you assume that nana is shvekruta. If it itself is pachas shvekruta, maybe you'll argue that you can transact with it, and in that context, right, if you include it among two things that you sell for a pruta, so you have a nana, a pruta, and there it is, it's right there, part of it was that. Maybe that will be considered part of the reason why you could argue kol shu. But more fundamentally, you could also argue an assumption of your kvegar, the underlying assumption, that the iser hana either refers to monetary benefit, or at the very least, it can be reduced and measured as monetary benefit. In other words, Rav Eger's assumption is for the Yisuri Hana that Hana is at least has to be measurable financially. The stronger way to articulate it is what Hana refers to ultimately, and this we'll come back to, is monetary benefit. That's really what Hana is. It's monetary benefit. Every other kind of Hana, let's say physical gratification, that doesn't have independent legal status in Halacha. What that's important for, in the context of at least Yisuri Hana, is that there's a commodity, is that there's a value to that, there's a monetary value, right? If I'm getting physical Hana, for which I would be paying money, so that actually constitutes Hana, because I'm saving the money, let's say I'm gaining the value of the prutah that I would have spent on that, right? A person would spend the prutah to smell the, or, you know, smell might be an issue, but let's say to use as a, I don't know, as a dye, the shemesh orla, let's say, for example, I'm making things up, right? So that's actually, I mean, it's true that I'm benefiting from it, you know, physically or with my senses. That's not a category of independent significance. What's significant is that you would pay for that, and or that people pay for that, and that having therefore been, benefited in that way, you can say he's been benefited a shrei pruta's worth. That's the stronger view. The less strong view is to say maybe you have different kinds of hana. Maybe not every hana has to be ultimately reduced. And the only hana that actually really is forbidden in the end is monetary hana. But for whatever reason, it all has to be measurable as monetary hana. Maybe that's a sort of a middle way of putting it, that it's not necessarily that there's only one kind of hana in the context of Yisuri hana that's been forbidden, and that's monetary hana. Maybe that isn't the case. But nonetheless, it has to be certain chashivas. And if we look to measure, so we're going to measure, right, a shrei pruta's worth of chashivas. But in the end, I think if we say the latter, certainly, and maybe we'll just reject the former, but in the end, it's quite possible to say, let's just say it this way, if in fact we assume the latter, namely that it's not that ultimately it's all reducible and only considered, that ultimately the only thing which is really forbidden in terms of hana is monetary benefit, right? And that all, let's say, the gratification, the physical gratification, hana is a guf, all that is simply something which is a form of monetary benefit, which we therefore have to measure in terms of in monetary terms. But even if we, right, in that situation, what we'd be saying is, or Kvegelote would say, that if the benefit ultimately is a shrei pruta, is palka shrei pruta, let's say, you know, physically enjoying that kind of thing in that way is something that really you have to sell two of them to make a pruta on the market, right? You don't get those things independently. So that each instance of it is puffa shrei pruta. If that were the case, let's say as an example, right? So then Ricky Vega will say, and therefore that's not considered hana. That's true only if you accept the premise that it's that ultimately what's forbidden is financial hana. Right, but if you assume, let's say, that what's forbidden really is, let's say, satisfaction, and that can take different forms. It could be, we'll come back to it, it could be monetary benefit, it could be physical satiation, gratification, satisfaction, right? Hanas aguf. If you say that, once you allow for there being such a thing as hanas aguf, that isn't really fundamentally usher because it's really a financial benefit, so then even Ricky Vega, if he's going to, I don't know if Ricky Vega agrees with that, but he would then say, in that case, okay, shrei pruta is then the measure of what actually considered or not, and here we could obviously disagree and say that isn't the case. In other words, there's no internal qualitative shear to physical satisfaction. There's only different quantities of it. There's not a different, it's not that there's a Rubicon at which point this becomes hana. If you're nana pafos mi shrei pruta, so then the physical gratification is not enough. Once it's shrei pruta, then already we say, okay, that's enough. That's something which is a difficult argument to make. Maybe we could figure out make it, maybe we make the argument that no, it's all really ultimately financial benefit, which is forbidden, and everything else is just a form of financial benefit. I don't know. But either way, if you don't accept that, if you assume that hana, physical gratification, counts as hana, right, independently, that's just one of the forms of hana, or maybe the ultimate form of hana, presumably one of the forms of hana. We'll see. There are some who think that it's the only hana, and therefore they have a problem with the monetary hana. That's the last part of this topic. But if you assume, let's say, that that's not the case, that at least there is a hana which is forbidden not that isn't a financial benefit, but rather just simply gratification. So it's quite compelling to argue then that there is no natural shear. It's not, and it's certainly not a straight pruta. You can be nen in a way that you wouldn't pay a pruta for, but still that's hana, right? So if the only justification, so again, marrying in the end the two propositions, the only reason that there's no malchus for achila, malchus like a shear, is because it's a non-achila. It's not that there's a shear chashivas for malchus. It's simply that the iser concerned, the iser deraisa, at least the initial explicit iser deraisa, concerns achila, which therefore excludes pachas mikashir, in as much as that isn't an act of achila, it's simply ingesting particles. Right? It has to be a certain quantity in order to become an act of achila. But when it comes to sahana, right, there is no such equivalent. Right? There's no such equivalent. You would need the same thing in order for there to be a din shir requirement for hana lemalkos. But there is none, and the reason for that is because it isn't simply monetary hana that has been forbidden. And inasmuch as, again, this is the other way to argue would be to say that even if it is monetary hana, then you can maybe still have hana of something pachas mi shrei pruta. But setting that aside, the more fundamental way to approach this would be to say that that assumption is incorrect. It's not true that it's all monetary hana. Hana can have monetary forms. It can also have physical, you know, the physical hana, a form of hana. That is not measurable. That is not something which even if you can indeed measure it in terms of straight pruta, but it doesn't define what it is to be nen. That's just simply a quantity of how much hana you receive. And inasmuch as the Torah's iser is lo tehane, essentially, right, the what you're being looked for, again, this is not a program, is violating the prohibition to be nen. Right, so that would be something which would apply even if it's a shir. So basically, there's no din of shir b'hana because the reason for it in the case of achila does not at all apply in the case of hana. Now, this I think you have precedent for. Where you guys? I guess I gave it to you. Meaning this idea regarding hana and the idea that there's no natural shir for hana, unlike achila, has precedent not legabe malkos explicit, not legabe malkos. The Rabbi Yochanan, but rather the Gabe Isser Ha Isser L'Resh Lakish. Right, Yishami. I send this out to you. Right, Yishami in Trumos has a line that even Resh Lakish concedes that in terms of the Isser that you violate the Isser. Right, Resh Lakish holds Be'achila that the Shear is not just L'inyan Malkos but also L'inyan Isser. So Yishami says that Moder Resh Lakish Be'Isurayana. Right, that's the line. Moder Resh Lakish. Yeah, just that. Moder Resh Lakish Be'Isurayana. Doesn't explain why, but one can understand that this is what the Gra suggests. Right? He says, Dafilu pachos mikashir, Pastor, digami pachos mikashir, hu nen me'at. Precisely this point. Right? The justification for this is because what was true of Achila, namely, that Achila has a natural quantity, naturally speaking, to become an act, to be defined as an act of Achila, needs to be a certain quantity, that isn't true regarding anah. To be nene is something which, if it's true at all, there's no shear for it. Nen me'at is still being defined. It's still defined as hana, and therefore you wouldn't have, unless you're told otherwise, we don't have a minimum shear to for Resh Lakish be usher. That's what Rabbi Yishami is reflecting. For Rabbi Yochanan, you would say there's no minimum shear for malchus. Are you followed? Yeah. Right, the point being, again, shir l'makos is only a din in the nature of the act of achila, that there is no such thing as achila pachas mikazayas. Regarding hana, here is the argument. Right, the hana, that's number one. Number two, hana, that's not the case. With hana, you have no such shir. Right, so on the first question we noted, that's on the first proposition there, that the achila's shir l'makos is simply not a shir chashivas l'inyan ha'onish, but rather simply a share of defining the Maisa Avera that we discussed. That's the prevalent view, and I read to you in the Rashba that view, right? It's due to that feature, the Rashba, right? Ain lokin alav mishum diikar ka achilu ksivavei, lo sotu kuna beilo, etc. But ain achilu kakus mikizak, right? That's the Rashba view. And secondly, on the second point, that Hana has no such comparable shear, so that, I think, as I've mentioned, that could be argued about, or Kivega will presumably argue that that isn't the case, on the assumption that A, hana, fundamentally speaking, that which has been forbidden to us, when the Torah forbids hana, is really monetary benefit. And number two, monetary benefit by definition requires a straight mitzvah. I've noted that you could argue on the second point that monetary benefit requires a straight mitzvah. Perhaps you can have something which is part of a straight mitzvah, but in as much as you can use it to get monetary benefit, that would still be benefiting from something monetarily, even if it itself is not a straight mitzvah. But more fundamentally, maybe you would argue on the initial point that forbidden hana is specifically is really ultimately specifically monetary hana. Maybe that's not the case. There's independently physical satisfaction and gratification, and that at least has no natural share. Even if you assume straight puta would be a share for monetary hana, but that's not the only kind of hana that exists. And hence, even pachas we could share hana would be looking. Yeah. Yeah. Thus far, so therefore, we've seen so far two possibilities. We've seen the two tzara suffix, if you will, in the Meiri. One, Shreputa, with the precedent probably being Megillah. And the explanation, now that we've seen the other opinion, so the explanation being fundamentally all Yisurim, all Hana, the Hana forbidden is monetary Hana, it's financial benefit. And in terms of financial benefit, so the natural shear has to be a unit of money, namely Shreputa. Pasa Shreputa is not Mammon. Alternatively, you see in the Meiri, the second side of suffix, the Meiri is that it's a koshu, and that the explanation for that would be what we discussed. In Achronim, there emerges a set of third possibility, which is, any thought? Kizadis. You guys saw that? Yeah? Kizadis. Maybe the shear should be Kizadis. The Mishnah Al-Malch suggests this in Hilchos Megillah. I don't have it in front of me. By the way, just there, Hagab, I'm feeling a little dizzy, so if I'm not in public here, I may not be making sense, though, so if that happens, just let me know. I'm feeling like a little woozy. So the Mishnah Al-Malch in Hilchos Megillah suggests this. Right, and he's bothered by Mi'ilah. He's arguing basically, I think, against Gemara, it sounds like, when he says maybe the share of Mi'ilah should not be Shrei Pruta, it should be Kizayas. He's bothered by the fact that it is a Kizayas, that it is not a Kizayas. And he ends up saying that it's just unique to Mi'ilah, but essentially, we can see that, let's say, the Shir, that the Isser Mi'ilah was an Isser Achila, which is also a Sabana, then the Shir really should be Kizayas. And this is taken up by the Tzlach and the Tzina. They all adopt the opinion. They're all of the opinion that this is in fact the case, right? That Sha'ar Yisur right now, not Me'ila, but let's say Basma Falav and Chametz, standing out there, right? That these things, the Isur is Dafka Bekazayis. Now here, Misvara, this seems to me at least somewhat perplexing. It seems to be a mismatch. Kazayis is a measure of volume. It is not a measure of Hana. Meaning it's the measure of a chepetz, in particular the area, the volume of a chepetz. Right? So to say that the shear from Malkus for Hana should be Kizayis is very peculiar. It's like how much were you Nana, how much Hana do you need to be, whether to be considered Hana or perhaps to be considered Nana, Malkus Chashu, you need a cubic inches worth of Hana. What does that mean? Right? I mean, it's a very strange thing to say. I mean, if I'm benefiting financially, I'm selling a kazayas. Is my hana kazayas? Would you say that I'm getting a kazayas hana? Or would you say that you're profiting, three kudos? What's the difference if, let's say, I'm selling something which is more, valuable, and therefore, let's say, puffs and kudos is three kudos, puffs and kazayas is three kudos, versus if I'm selling, something which is less valuable, and therefore I sell a kazayas to make three kudos? Presumably, the hana, the financial benefit, the benefit there is the same. Right? Shir kazayis is not really, it seems, particularly suited as a shir for hana. So that's a very strange thing. Matin kazayis eitzel hana, that's basically the question. So I would argue, right, what do you guys think here? I would argue that seemingly the best way to explain this opinion is, I think, is that in economics, it's not really a measure of any kind of hana. But what's happening here is based on two assumptions. Number one, the assumption is that the natural shear for just simply hana per se is actually a kol shavu, not a shir puta. And second, and here's a crucial point, that this is based on what view maybe?
Rambam.
Rambam. Right, this is a kind of another implication of the nikud haneflah. Which is basically that what's happening here is it's not that that this is the extent of how much hanaa you need, because that doesn't really, it's not a measure of how much hanaa. Right? You can understand how shefruta could be measured hanaa. It's very hard to argue how kezayah can be measured hanaa. What this is a shear of, and it appears like it's a shear of the hanaa, but it's really not. What this is a shear of is the shear regarding the chefetz. The chetz upon which the Yisra HaNa'a is chal. Right? The chetz upon which the Yisra HaNa'a is chal, at least to the extent that you could be looking for it, is something along the lines of Nikud Nafal the Rambam. It has to be something which upon which there is an Yisra HaChilo. And what we're saying is essentially that at least the Pashis HaKasav, again, this requires somewhat of a discussion between the relationship between Yisra HaChilo, Yisra HaNa'a rather, and the Pashis HaKasav, which we'll get to. Actually, I think I forgot to. I think we skipped it actually in the end in the Rambam of Loi Achel. So come back to. But one could argue that essentially what's going on here is that that fundamentally the Yisra has to be Chal as an Yisra Achila. And with regard to something which is Pachas Mikizayas, there's a Chisaron in some sense of the Chalosa Yisra al Pachas Mikizayas. And therefore that thing is actually not Nesar Behana. At least it's not considered to be Nesar Behana. In a kind of a mafurish way, because it's only at that point, it's not really the Chalal the Yisra Achilo, it's simply the Chalal the Yisra Chatishir. But it's the Yisra Achilo which needs to be Chal in order for there to be an Yisra Hanah, right? And in that context, what we'll say is, one, you get a Kezayis, so then it's Nezar B'Achilo, the primary law, at least, of Los Ochus, in the context of Chamin to be Lo Ye'achal. Right? At that point, you can say it's us. It's therefore been Nesar B'Hanah. So the shear is not a shear in how much Hanah you need, but rather it's simply a shear upon what chayfetz, the shear, the Yisra L'Hanah applies. And the reasoning for that is, fundamentally, the Rambam's view of what's going on here, which is that we have an Yisra Achila, which when Chal, then has the implication of representing not just the Achila, but also other Hanahs too. But it has to be that the Yisra Achila is Chal, and therefore it's measured here as a shear, essentially a shear Achila, even Lagabe HaHana, even though it's not a shear for quantity of Hana, and Koshkein, not for defining something as Hana, but nonetheless, it is a shear upon which the Chepetz, the Yisra Hana, is Chal upon the Chepetz.
So,
yeah.
If you have, a Shemen or something like that, that's Asir Bahana, and you use it for Nisuch, and you have a shear of Kezayas, but you only use part of it. So, would you be high for that? Meaning, because there.
On the view that you need a shear of Kezayas, probably not.
Because even though.
I mean, we do not have Malkus at
least. Right, you would not, because even though.
I'm saying the Slav, Minchasinuch, and Yitzin, Mishamelech would argue that no, that you're not looking for that case, I think.
Because even though the shear is to make it a Chatzah show, yes, sir. Meaning, the shear is to give it the status.
That which you were nana, so it depends on what you would say you were nana. You know, what were you nana from in this case? Assuming that you're nana from that which is actually, in the end, used, and not just sort of what you stand to have, you know, what you were deriving it from.
Uh-huh.
So then, in the end, you were nana from a Pachas Mikizayis. And the assumption here is, the argument here would be,
so like
on that thing, there was, in the end, not really a full Yisra Achila, maybe not Yisra Achila at all. And therefore, inasmuch as this is an Yisra HaNa'a, which is tramped, which gets a tramp within Yisra HaChila, inasmuch as that thing never came under any Yisra HaChila, that Chetzah that you were there with, that you were dealing with, so in the end it was not something for which you're going to be tied.
So that status of being a Chetzah Shel Yisr, you can't like hold it over from a previous time period, it has to be Mamish B'Shas HaNa'a?
I guess this is what they would say.
I think they would say,
how much were you nana from in the end?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, it's not a question of, is this thing under, if I already, it has to be that which you actually, executed the hana upon.
Right.
Well, so was that something which bore an Yisra Achila? If you had eaten that, would you have violated Yisra Achila? Or would you have violated, the primary Yisra Achila? And if the answer is no, so then in the end, then you can't be net chayav nishum nana either, and that's how you get kezayis being a shear for isur hana, even though we were talking about a shear which has seemingly no relevance for hana. I have one other thing I wanted to comment on here, but I do have to go. But maybe I'll just mention it next time, which is the Hafata, the those who argue this bring a raya. You saw the raya. What's the raya against the other shitos? Why does it have to be? They say it must be. It's clear. Just if you look at the halacha, it's clear that achila, that the shir for hana, for chiyuv mishum hana, is a gezayis. What is their explanation? What is their raya for that? Huh?
Oh, that otherwise, if you eat less than the gezayis, you can melt it.
Otherwise, you should say achila pachas megzayis. Of course, you're loke. Maybe not for achila, but for hana. All right, so I want to discuss that raya. It's also something which is has what to do to, you know, to do with what we're talking about. And we'll just mention the issue of the you know, come back to the question of the nature of the issur hana and what exactly what kind of hana is that we're talking about. And then we'll move on to the next topic, which is achila pachas. Okay, so.